Well, good morning. I was struck by the fact that I think of the purpose for why Jesus Christ came. I always think seeking to save the lost. We just read in John that it's also to proclaim the truth, to testify of the truth. And so there's so much we can learn every time we hear the scripture read. So I hope you're really engaging in that process. We're working our way through the Bible, and we're in the Gospel of John. Before you know it, we'll be in Revelation, and we'll start over again. The more we can get the word in us, the better off we're going to be. Well, happy pre-Thanksgiving to all of you. It is that weekend leading up to a time where we get to enjoy thanking God for the great things that he has done. And I hope that today is a special day for you in that regard. And I want to invite you to stick around with us after this first service. We're going to have a brief break of about 10 minutes. And then we're going to gather back together to sing praises to God. We're going to have two mics open on each side for you to give up, to stand up if you want and share praise about the great things God has done in your life. I think this is a great way to get to know each other and to praise God for his goodness, because that's why we're here. We all need to get picked up when it comes to our own perspective and look up to God, who is worthy of all of our praise. So I hope you engage with me in that and that you even think about something you could share to the church family, and we'll sing together. It's just going to be a great time. The more of you that stick around, the better it is in the singing, by the way. Okay, so just a little encouragement. And so I want to encourage you to stick around and sing with us and lift up praises to God. Take your Bible, turn over with me to Psalm 105. Psalm 105. I've entitled this sermon, A Walk Down Memory Lane. And I'm just missing the presenter for some reason. I normally look at that before I get up here, but perhaps I can get that sent up to me. That'd be great. I look at what we're trying to accomplish, too, with our new logo and with some of the PowerPoint backdrop. If you're an artist, you're disappointed when you see my backdrop. It's like, oh, normal PowerPoint. Well, remember, we're not here to impress anybody. We're just a work in progress as a church, and I'll get on board and get the logoed PowerPoint very soon. But if you think about memory lane, it's this a tendency that we have to forget many times things that we have experienced. And that's why Thanksgiving is so very helpful. You know, when you gather around, I don't know if you're like us, where you're around a table and you have a chance to share something you're thankful for. And here's the reality. The reality is I can say we do this in our perfect little family with a little kernel of corn and give thanks. But the reality is every Thanksgiving, someone needs to take the leadership to say, hey guys, this has been a great meal, great fellowship. Whether or not it's over turkey or chili, whatever. Can we share something that we're thankful for the past year? So I'm going to encourage you as ambassadors of Palmetto Baptist Church, if you make it through your Thanksgiving meal and no one has stepped up to the plate to say, let's share what we're thankful for, I'm encouraging you, I'm asking you, I'm commissioning you as if I have any power to do that. I don't. I'm just encouraging you to say, hey, can we share something we're thankful for? And then lead. Of course, you need to have something you're thankful for, right? I mean, I look back at our church, and I was thinking about last week as I was talking about God's provision and how he is doing something in our body regarding where we're going to end up permanently as far as our home, and I forgot a really key component. I was talking to you about the journey of exit 35 to 620 Powdersville, Maine, and I forgot to, and then I talked about moving here and renting here where we are right now, but I forgot a really key piece to that. You know that it's because of God's providence in opening up 620 Powdersville, Maine, that we rented from the Methodist Church, Bethesda United Methodist, and we're still doing that. We're still grateful for what they're doing for us. One of the elders heard about us and had land that he wanted to talk to us about purchasing, and that's the Seeley Lane property. It's all connected. That God would move in the heart of an elder to say, hey, would your church be interested in purchasing a piece of property? And as you know, and if you don't, let me tell you, it was a big initiative in the month of October for us to raise money to pay off that land, to give us a little bit of collateral to do something as God would open doors. And so I forgot about that. I mean, I'm sharing all this other stuff, and I forget about details. Do you do that ever? You forget because you get so focused in on what's happening right now or what happened yesterday or what's going to happen tomorrow. You're thinking about driving somewhere that you forgot about what God has done to get you where you are right now. As I reflect on 2018, I think about some highlights. I think about the highlight of having baptismal service in, I think it was around February, when Pastor Rusty baptized, I think we had four or five, maybe I'm wrong, was it five or, how many was it? It was five, yeah, five image bearers of God, most of them adults, who came to Jesus this year through the ministry of the Deaf Church. I also think about Jesse Coleman, who's come and has been someone that's helped Pastor Rusty, and that is an act of God. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, please, I need you to know, and I need you to pray. This is an extension of our church reaching an unreached people group in this area, over 5,000 deaf in the Greenville area. And so there is a desperate need for us to engage in praying, supporting, and encouraging the Deaf Church, and to God be the glory for what he is doing currently. And then I also think about God's provision in bringing us Pastor Josh Steffens and his family. What a blessing that has been to so many of us. And I'm so grateful that he brought us here and that you said yes to coming. And Michelle, you let him and you're here. You guys are all here as a family. And what it's done is it's opened up a door for many of you to experience what it's like to be set free from life-besetting sin. And I don't really actually like the word life-dominating. I'd rather use the word life-besetting. It just besets us for a while. And he is here to help guide us towards answers in Scripture to care for our members. Because you know what? We're working at member care, but we're doing a poor job of it. We need to keep getting better at it. I mean, we need to care for each other at a level where we actually love one another. You know, it's not about a large group of us gathering together to pat ourselves on the back that we've got all these chairs set up. Who cares? If we're not loving on each other, one anothering, we're not really doing the ministry God's called us to. And so I want to encourage you to just join me in this endeavor, but praise God for what he's doing. I also think of do you guys remember the testimony of Connor Galt, who in May, sitting over here to my left, your right, at the end of the service, when I call everyone to a point of decision, he repented of his sins and came to Jesus Christ. We had the privilege of baptizing him. Connor, be in prayer for him. He's in the Navy going through that boot camp initial stuff, and it's difficult for him. But God's doing so many great things. And I want to praise him for what he has done and what he's continuing to do through each of your lives. And so when I think of a psalm like Psalm 105, the reason for going to this one today, we're in a journey through the book of Psalms, but I wanted to bring our attention towards Psalms of Thanksgiving, which are abundant, right? I mean, Psalm 150 is classic when it comes to Psalms of Thanksgiving, but Psalm 105 is a walk down memory lane. It's a psalm where we have this author, we're not given who the author is, but he talks about the history of Israel and how God provided, and how it should redirect our thoughts towards him. Here's a simple outline for you to consider. We're going to look at the fact that its authorship is not stated, Psalm 105. If you have a bulletin, you could flip it over and write these things down. You could also take a picture of that QR code, and it will take you to an outline on the website so that you can follow along with the notes I have uploaded for you. Its acceptance is well documented, though. We don't have its authorship, so that's just going to be a really quick, simple point to make. But there's a reason for that, because we're trying to understand this psalm and how it fits in the broader context of the book of Psalms. But we're going to note that this is not the first time we're going to see the content in Psalm 105. Its content, I find it to be very stirring, and I hope it stirs your soul. And then I'm going to come back up the second part with more of the application about how uplifting its content is. It's a stirring content. It's uplifting. I'm going to try to stir your soul and then lift you up just through the words of this psalm. But when we do this, we reflect on Thanksgiving. So here's from the Smithsonian, a picture of what many people want to remember or think Thanksgiving was all about. If you go to history.com, you'll see an example of how it all started. And I'm going to suggest to you that we actually forget how it all started. We forget how the group of pilgrims came over and half of those on the boat died trying to make it through the winter months, and how God brought a Native American Indian who was actually kidnapped into England, who ended up coming back and resettling in America so that he had a passion or a compassion for the people that were on this boat, on the Mayflower, needing help. And he actually knew English because he was taken captive. And so it's interesting how God sometimes uses sinful decisions that others make to accomplish his glorious will. And that's part of the Thanksgiving message. We think of Thanksgiving now as it has been turned into Black Friday, pre-Black Friday. I mean, Black Friday started in the month of November, kind of. And actually, unfortunately, it goes back historically into our roots when President Roosevelt decided we needed to push for a national holiday that would help boost our economy when it came right after the Great Depression. And so that's where we get this whole Black Friday thing. And the more we move towards materialism, the less we think about the provision that God has already given to us. And if it's always about what we need, what we want, the deals we can get, we're missing out on what we have received, who God really is. And I'm going to call you to a state of being content and overwhelmed with God's goodness and his glory. So just reflecting a little bit on Thanksgiving, but notice that what we find in this particular psalm, Psalm 105, is one of those historical psalms. It fits with Psalm 78. It's, of course, right here, 105, 106 fits into that context as well. It is a reason for us to say, I don't know my Old Testament history as well as I think I should. Maybe I should go review it. In fact, let me suggest to you, if you have the privilege of taking a new believer through the Bible, they've never really read the Bible or know much about the Bible, it's really healthy to take them to Psalm 78 and talk them through what happened and what's stated in Psalm 78 or Psalm 105 or Psalm 106. It's concise, but it gives an overview of God's covenants and God's love for his people. You could also run to a place like Acts chapter 7, where you have Stephen recalling the story of God's provision. But those are right there built into the text. But let's look at the psalm together. Look down at your Bible, Psalm 105. The first thing I want to mention to you is that its authorship is not stated. I have, as in my Bible, tell of his wonderful works, Psalm 105. I don't have tell of his wonderful works from Asaph or from Solomon or from Saul, which we don't have any from Saul, from Moses. We don't have from David. In fact, if we go back to Psalm 103, turn back to Psalm 103 in your Bible, you'll notice that the last time we have reference to an authorship is the authorship of David, with this very famous psalm, bless the Lord, O my soul, all that is within me, bless his holy name, and a call to reflect on God's goodness. But when we go from Psalm 103, we go to Psalm 104, no mention of authorship. In Psalm 105, no mention of authorship. Psalm 106, no mention of authorship. You're saying, what's the point? Well, this is the conclusion to the fourth book in the book of Psalms. You know, Psalms is broken up into five books. So chapters 1, Psalm 1 through 42 encompass book 1, and you go into 43 and you work your way into, actually 42 to 72, book 2, and you work your way through to this fourth book. Look it with me at Psalm 105. I'm sorry, Psalm 106, verse 47. Psalm 106, 47. Save us, O Lord our God, and gather us from among the nations, that we may give thanks to your holy name and glory in your praise. Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting, and let all the people say amen, praise the Lord. And I have in my Bible the beginning of book 5. So why do I bring that up to you? Well, because we have the wrap-up of book 4, no authorship given, and that kind of bothers me because I'm trying to figure out who's the author, because I want to know the setting, so that I can really wrap my arms around what it means to Israel and then what it would mean to me as well, right? And book 4, I know this in its setting, is a book about wandering. And it matches with the book of Numbers in the Pentateuch. And here we have a call for us to praise God when we're unsure about our next step. So I start with Psalm 105, and I want to remind you, its setting in all of the book of Psalms is to encourage you, if you're here today and you're not really sure what your next step is supposed to be, this psalm is for you. If you're sitting there saying, I want to give praise to God, but I just need a little bit of a memory check, I need to get kind of encouraged towards praising him, this psalm is for you. So I want you to know authorship is not stated, but it is well documented. I encourage you to take your Bible, maybe keep your finger in Psalm 105, but turn over to 1 Chronicles 16, 8 through 22. 1 Chronicles 16:8 through 22. And what I find here, which is so fascinating to me, if I did this with my paper Bible, right? If you have a digital copy, it's going to be a little bit more challenging. But I can do this to where I can look at 1 Chronicles 16, verse 8, and Psalm 105, verse 1. And you know what I'm going to find? I'm going to find in 1 Chronicles 16, verse 8, it's identical to Psalm 105, verse 1, all the way through to a particular passage here. It goes from 1 Chronicles 16:8 through 22 matches up with Psalm 105, 1 through 15. Almost identical. There's one difference between Isaac and Abraham, but let's read what it says here in 1 Chronicles 16, verse 8. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the peoples, sing to him, sing praises to him, tell of his wonderful works, glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his presence continually. Remember the wondrous works that he has done, his miracles and the judgments he uttered. O offspring of Israel, which in Psalm 105 says, O offspring of Abraham, his servant, sons of Jacob and his chosen ones. So I'm struck by the thought, hey, this is identical to Psalm 105. So maybe it helps me a little bit more about why or how it's used. It doesn't necessarily tell me who the author is, but it does help me understand a little bit about how it's used. So if you're in 1 Chronicles 16, then go back to the natural place, which would be verses 1 through 7. So leading up to the song sung, which is the same as Psalm 105. You follow me? I'm trying to figure out why is the psalm here and what value does it have to God's people, because then it will help me connect with you the value to your own life. And here we find in verse 1, there's a story about David returning the ark. And they brought, I'm looking at 1 Chronicles 16, verse 1, and they brought in the ark of God and set it inside the tent that David had pitched for it, and they offered burnt offerings and peace offerings before God. And when David had finished offering the burnt offerings and the peace offerings, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord and distributed to all Israel, both men and women, to each a loaf of bread and a portion of meat and a cake of raisins. This is like gift time. It's like me handing out candy bars to everyone. Let's praise God together. And here's a juice box. To kids, that would be great. To those of you that love health, it wouldn't be great. But picture your healthiest snack and whatever would make you happy right now, and I distribute it to everyone. Let's praise God together. So this is an evidence of the fact that David was a Baptist because he's eating food here. It's a joke. Haha. Okay, anyway. So in verse 4, he says he appointed some of the Levites as ministers before the ark of the Lord to invoke, to thank, and to praise. Invoke means to prod along. To thank means to ascribe to God the worth due his name, and to praise, to lift up song to the Lord, the God of Israel. Then he lists a bunch of names. One of the more familiar one would be Asaph. Jump down to verse 7. Then on that day, David first appointed the thanksgiving be sung to the Lord by Asaph and his brothers. So was Asaph the author of this psalm? Was it David? I go back to saying, we have no idea. But I can tell you that there was reason to sing these songs, reflection on giving praise to God. And if you look at 1 Chronicles 16, 8 through 13, which I just read to you, there's this invoking of call to the people, give thanks to God, make known his deeds, sing to him, sing praises to him, glory in his holy name. Seek him, not just him, seek his presence, not just now, but continually. Remember now the wondrous works. And then he starts to break down the memory. Now, the question I had is like, why is David so excited and amped up about giving praise to God on this particular occasion? Well, what we need to do is we need to consider the reason for the ark being not in the presence of Jerusalem, not in David's presence. And if you follow this back, and I'm just going to describe this to you, you could look at it if you want to, but this is on the heels of Eli hearing the news that he is going to suffer punishment in his home because his sons were not dealt with the way they needed to be dealt with. Samuel responded to the call of God. And after this, Hophni and Phinehas led a charge against the Philistines and took the ark of God out of a place called Shiloh. Now, Shiloh was the location that when the children of Israel landed in the promised land, they placed the tabernacle that went with them on the journey, and they built that tabernacle, placed it in Shiloh, put the Ark of the Covenant in it when they were facing the enemy, the Philistines. The conclusion they came to was, we need to bring the Ark of God with us because that will ensure our victory. So you have these two corrupt men, Hophni and Phinehas, the son of Eli, thinking, I'm going to use God like he's some magic spell, some potion. And he gets the Ark, and they're not walking with God. I want to emphasize that. God is not going to be manipulated by man. And they take the Ark out, and when the Philistines hear about it, they are terrified because they have an understanding that there is a God who allowed the children of Israel early on to get out of Egypt, to deliver them out of Egypt. It's interesting, the background, because it's the very things that David brings up in his praise. The Philistines acknowledge God's greatness, but then they win the battle. And they take the Ark, and that creates problems for the Philistines. All sorts of disease, and then they say, we got to get rid of this Ark. So they get these two calves that have never been yoked up before, and they put the Ark on a cart, and they make this conclusion. We know God's going to judge us, and this is God's. If this particular cart with these calves go exactly to, I think it's Beth Shemesh, and guess what? They went exactly to Beth Shemesh, alone along the way, and the Philistines were totally spooked. And this Ark stopped in the land and in the house of Obed-Edom, and his whole household was blessed for over 20 years. 20 years, the Ark was not in the possession of the king of David. It was in one place. So David comes along and says, I'm going to take this Ark out. In 2 Samuel 6 through 7, he comes out, and his plan is, I'm going to have only the Levites take this Ark, but I'm going to do it on a cart. And that's the story of Uzzah, who opens up or puts his hand back to stabilize the Ark, and he dies. And David's a little thrown, like, what's the problem? And God says to him, listen, why don't you just do it the way I've asked you to do it? And so he realizes, I need to get these staves to put into the sides of the Ark, and we need to carry it and walk it along the way, not put it in a cart, sacrifice to the Lord, and sing with all joy and might. That's the background to the psalm. And so it's significant to me because this content that we're looking at, it's an accepted document because it's supposed to motivate praise. All right, so with all of that background, let me put it to you in this real simple way. If you've ever felt like or been on the journey of making some poor decisions and you end up regretting decisions that you've made, you've ended up on the wrong path, this psalm encourages you to get back on the right path. It stirs your memory, a walk down memory lane to say, God hasn't changed. Realign your will, your way to God's will and to God's way. This is David saying, God, we're trying to bring it all back together. And there are some here today, no doubt, as you're getting ready for Thanksgiving to come, you need to pause and say, I am not heading the way that God wants me to go. He wants me to head his way, so I'm going to choose to go his way. Notice the content is stirring. Turn back to Psalm 105. I'll give it to you in this simple outline, and I'm pulling this particular outline from the Bible Knowledge Commentary. Okay, so this is its source base. And if we would take and outline this whole psalm, you'll find it in verses 1 through 6. It's a psalm of praise for the Lord's greatness. It's a call, an invoking, a thanking, a praising of God, based on who he is and what he does. It's just kind of an introduction. And then we find the bulk of the psalm is a praise for the Lord's faithfulness. And he speaks specifically through Old Testament saints or patriarchs that should provoke us to think again about God and how good he is. And then there's a praise for the Lord's deliverance. So in an effort for you to see this, we have this praise for the faithfulness of the Lord. You could also see the providence of God. And here are the saints that I'm talking about. Abraham. It's referring to Joseph, Moses, and then allusion to Joshua in conquering the land. I want you to see this with me, and I want to invite you to follow this particular outline. And we're going to do it a little differently than we've done before. I'm going to invite you to stand right now. Stand up with me. And we're going to look at each of these. And I want you to follow along with me as I read this together. A psalm of praise for the Lord's greatness. And I want you to read this with me, okay? That means audibly. I want you to read it out loud, okay? Here we go. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the peoples. sing to him, sing praises to him, tell of all his wondrous works, glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his presence continually. Remember the wondrous works that he has done, his miracles and the judgments he uttered. O offspring of Abraham, his servants, children of Jacob, his chosen ones. Now pause. I gave you that first one, and that first one is giving us an idea of understanding the content of the Lord's greatness. Now I want you to see his faithfulness. So we've seen how he's great, and apparently David, as he's singing, is pretty convinced we need to praise him, we need to seek him, we need to thank him, and that's what we need to do as God's people. But notice his faithfulness. And I'm going to, in each of these, as we read this together, you'll see I'll highlight the different patriarchs. Let's continue. He is the Lord, our God. His judgments are in all the earth. He remembers his covenant forever, the word that he commanded for 1,000 generations. The covenant that he made with Abraham, his sworn promise to Isaac, which he confirmed to Jacob as a statute to Israel, as an everlasting covenant, saying, to you I will give the land of Canaan as your portion for an inheritance. Notice, this is God's providence through Abraham. That's the Abrahamic covenant, reaffirmed through his son Isaac, reaffirmed through Jacob. So God is faithful all the way through. Notice the next one. Let's read together. When they were few in number, of little account, and sojourners in it, wandering from nation to nation, from one kingdom to another people, he allowed no one to oppress them. He rebuked kings on their account, saying, touch not my anointed ones, do my prophets no harm. When he summoned a famine on the land and broke all supply of bread, he had sent a man ahead of them, Joseph, who was sold as a slave. His feet were hurt with fetters. His neck was put in a collar of iron. Again, God's providence through not just Abraham, but through Joseph. Remember that story. Verse 19, until what he has said came to pass. The word of the Lord tested him. The king sent and released him. The ruler of the people set him free. He made him lord of his house and ruler of all his possessions, to bind his princes at his pleasure and to teach his elders wisdom. Then Israel came to Egypt. Jacob sojourned in the land of Ham, and the Lord made his people very fruitful and made them stronger than their foes. He turned their hearts to hate his people, to deal craftily with his servants. He sent Moses, his servant, and Aaron, whom he had chosen. They performed his signs among them and miracles in the land of Ham. He sent darkness and made the land dark. They did not rebel against his words. He turned their waters into blood and caused their fish to die. This is God's providence through Moses. Keep going, verse 30. Their land swarmed with frogs, even in the chambers of their kings. He spoke, and there came swarms of flies and gnats throughout their country. He gave them hail for rain and fiery lightning bolts through their lands. He struck down their vines and fig trees and shattered the trees of their country. He spoke, and the locusts came, young locusts without number, which devoured all the vegetation in their land and ate up the fruit of their ground. He struck down all the firstborn in their land, the first fruits of all their strength. Then he brought out Israel with silver and gold, and there was none among his tribes who stumbled. Egypt was glad when they departed, for dread of them had fallen upon it. He spread a cloud for a covering and fire to give light by night. They asked, and he brought quail and gave them bread from heaven in abundance. He opened the rock and water gushed out. It flowed through the desert like a river. Notice the second, this last part as we wrap up this psalm, a psalm of praise for the Lord's deliverance. How does the Lord deliver? For he remembered his holy promise and Abraham his servant. So he brought his people out with joy, his chosen ones with singing. And he gave them the lands of the nations, and they took possession of the fruit of the people's toil, that they might keep his statutes and observe his laws. Praise the Lord. That's God's providence through Joshua. God is good. He's worthy of our praise, and I needed you to just take a walk down memory lane with me. I'm going to pray, dismiss the kids. I'm going to come back up and talk to you about lessons that we can get from this that I hope inspire you to take on this next year for God's glory. Let's pray. God, help us to continue to seek you, to find you, and to be satisfied with you. Bless the kids as they continue to learn more about you and be encouraged in your presence. And bless us as we sing to you now. In Jesus' name, amen. Kids, you are dismissed, and you might as well just stay standing because we're going to sing together. Psalm 105, we've looked at the authorship. Can't find the author. That's okay. We found that it's well documented. We find it all throughout Scripture, praise to God and a reflection on his goodness and history. Its content is very stirring because it calls us to his faithfulness and his providence, and I want to encourage you and uplift you with what it says here. But I want to illustrate something to you. I had the privilege of working for a man for the last about 11 years, almost a decade and more, Royce Short. He was the dean of the School of Religion at Bob Jones University, and I taught underneath his leadership. And he was a quiet, unassuming leader who was faithful to always give birthday cards to all of us, including my kids. He would always include some goofy statement in it and a dollar. The kids loved the dollar. They would do, I don't know what they did with the dollar before they understood what the dollar was worth. But I received a note in my inbox from him, and it's not intended for you to necessarily have to read all of it. That's not why. I just took a picture. I want you to know it really exists. And this note was his walk down memory lane of when I met him. And we met at Cracker Barrel over here on exit 85, and we were talking about whether or not it would be a fit to actually come and teach at Bob Jones University. And he walked through so many aspects. He remembered with great detail elements of our conversation and our journey together. There's a backside, which I'm not sharing with you, where he continues to break down some really touching information. And I'm caused to want to reflect and say, praise God for leading our family to the Greenville area. You know, it's so easy to get into the process of just trying to get the next thing done, whether it's the next sermon, or it's the next deacon's pastor's meeting, or it's the next hospital visit, or the next, and you have next, next, next all over the place. And sometimes we need to just pause and say, praise your name. You have led and you have provided, you have protected. I mean, I think in our own lives, my journey through seminary and college, I had college covered at Northland because I was a son of a pastor. That's the way it used to work. Maybe that's why they don't exist anymore, but financially. And it was a blessing to me. I was in seminary, and I was working at Federal Express and paying the seminary bills, and I had one of the profs come up to me and kind of nudge me, pull me aside, and say, hey, Jason, I'd like to cover your seminary as long as you want to keep going. I said, you want what? Do you teach here? Okay, I'll take that. I'll take your classes, too. And then I started doctorate work, and I found the same thing. I invested, got started, and then I had people who came to me and said, you know what, I really believe God wants me to help you finish financially. Since then, we have been the recipients, like starting out, we were renting a house in Minneapolis, could not afford a house at all. Like I said, I was working at FedEx. And then I went into ministry, could not afford a house at all. And God arranged for the church to buy 5 homes, employ those that are coming off of drug addiction that were very, very gifted with their hands to renovate the homes and then to resell them back to those in the church family. And we ended up getting our first home. It doesn't exist anymore. It's a parking lot. But it was a blessing to have back in those days. And you know, I drive around a 2009 Lexus. Do you guys know that? Don't be impressed. Actually be impressed with God. That was given to us. We have this huge white van, a big homeschool van. I didn't buy that van. God gave that to us. God is so very good. And I want you to know that I'm living it. And when I look at our church and where we are and not knowing what's going to happen next with our facility, all I need to do is pause and reflect back on some of the things I shared with you just last week, how God moved in the heart of a man to contact my dad to say, I'd like to give you $1 million. So I've lived that. Like, this is not some story I read in a book to help illustrate something. This is reality. So I know God has this. This is his church. And I know that you are struggling because you're human, right? And you have things going on in your lives right now that you're burdened, you're weighed down. I want to remind you that God has this. He knows the end from the beginning. He's demonstrated already in your life the ways he's provided for you. Psalm 105 is to stir you to say, I trust you. I don't know how the end is going to work out, but I know who you are. I want your presence with me all the way along the way. So let me see if this stirs you at all. In verses 1 through 11, which we're not going to read them again. We've already read them together. Here's a couple observations. God's grace satisfies your deepest longings. What are your deepest longings? I think it's this invocation, this call to worship. And your deepest longing is to worship him. You long for significance, and he gives you that significance through a relationship that is real and personal. You want significance? Come here every Sunday and worship God with me. You want significance? Worship God on your own throughout the week. Give praise to God. There's great significance. If you look at the words listed there, thank God, sing to God, verse 2, seek God, verses 3 through 4, needing his strength and his presence, reflect on God's works and his word. He birthed a nation in verses 6 through 10. He provided a location, a promised land in verse 11. He is a God who understands your longing for significance, and he understands your longing for security, because this particular psalm is bookended with a reminder that he provided a home for his children, the promised land. Do you see that security? And we want that security. He knows you need that security, and he has everything that you need. So I want to encourage you to find God's grace satisfying your deepest longings. Also notice this, God's sovereignty supersedes your sinful decisions. This is an interesting reality as I reflect on the story of the patriarchs. We can lift them up in, you know, what is it called? Hagiography, where you lift them up as they never do anything wrong. Actually, Abraham messed up several times. I mean, he was great in that he left the land of Ur and went to some promised land he didn't even know. Hebrews tells us he was seeking for that heavenly land. But as soon as he leaves, the first thing that happens to him, he's confronted with a king who says that, I think I'm going to take your wife as my own. And that's even before Abraham heard him say that. He concluded that that's what the king's going to want. So he came up with a scheme. I'm going to lie. And so he lies. And through his lie, his son picks up the same pattern and lies later on in a similar situation. And then Jacob, he's the great deceiver, the heel grabber. He's well known for lying. They have lies all throughout it. The lies of Abraham, Isaac, and of Jacob, verses 12 through 15. And then I think of the deception and treachery of Joseph, his brothers, Jacob's sons. I mean, the description of what happened to Joseph, I don't know if you ever contemplated verse 17. He sent a man ahead of them, Joseph, who was sold as a slave. Just let that ring in your ears. Your own brothers betray you, throw in your pit, and then they think about maybe we're going to murder you. No, let's sell you to some slave owners. His feet were hurt with fetters. His neck was put in a collar of iron. Have you ever thought of Joseph in that kind of torment? Well, here the psalmist talks about it. It's interesting that as you look at the Hebrew here, I think I look at this and I say, well, he must have had a collar around his neck and they dragged him along. That's possible. But in the Hebrew, it has an allusion to he had a situation that he had no answer for. It was an ironclad situation that was overwhelming. And it's, again, a further application. We run into those where we feel like choking, yet God is sovereign. He used the sins of Jacob's sons to accomplish the deliverance of God's people in the provision of the promise that he made to Abraham long ago. So think about your own life, okay? Have you messed things up? Have you sinned? Have you done something that you regret? Do you feel like there's no hope for you? I want you to know there's hope for you. God is a God of second chances, and I'm even going to push it a little further and say that God sovereignly works through your sinful decisions to accomplish his glory and his will. Now, don't misunderstand me. Paul got this straight. He says, should we continue in sin that grace may abound? What's his answer? By no means. God forbid. That's Romans 6. I'm not encouraging you, go sin, because that's part of God's plan to accomplish his purposes. But I am saying to you that when you do sin, it's not over for you. So some of you, you need to pick yourself back up and say, it's not over for me, because God's grace supersedes all of that. His sovereignty is amazing. He's working in me. He has a good and perfect will for my life, and I'm going to go after that, and I want to encourage you not to give up, not to give in. And that's what I think this psalm is saying. God's power enables you to have total deliverance. I love this in verse 23 through 20 through 25. He's able to change minds. Then Israel came to Egypt, Jacob sojourned in the land of Ham, and the Lord made his people very fruitful and made them stronger than their foes. He turned their hearts to hate his people and to deal craftily with his people. That's the same people. Now turn over to verse 37. How does he have them exit? Well, they hated him, but guess what they ended up doing? Then he brought out Israel with silver and gold, and there was none among his tribes who stumbled. Egypt was glad when they departed, for dread of them had fallen upon it. And I want you to think about this, that God is able to deliver you, and if you are caught up in a situation where someone is thinking wrongly about you, or they're stubborn and they're not going to change, guess what? I know someone who can change their mind. It's God. And instead of giving up or getting depressed about it, like, man, my life is rough because this person will not change, and if he doesn't change or she doesn't change, then my life, I don't know, it's just going to get complicated. Call out to God, because he can change minds. And notice he can also break wills. In verses 26 through 36, we have the example of the 10 plagues rolled out. Actually, in Psalm 105, you have 8 of the 10 plagues. So you have you're missing the plague about the cattle and the boils. And you could study that out to see if there's any significance as to why those two are left out. But I do want you to understand this significance, that each of the 10 plagues debunked one of the Egyptian gods. And that's what God can do. His power is greater than anything that you're facing. He can and will deliver you. And I want you also to see and finally see this, that God's provision supplies your greatest need. What do you need? Well, verse 39, he gave a cloud for the day, a pillar for the night. That's guidance. He knows that you need direction. He provides that. He provides sustenance. It's interesting that he particularly pulls out that you needed some quail, I gave you quail. You need some meat, I'll give you meat. You need bread, I'll give you bread from heaven. You need water, I'll give you a rock that gushes water out in the middle of a desert, because I can provide for you. And if you need confidence, the confidence is listed for us in verse 42. He remembers his holy promise in Abraham, his servant. Not just the promise, but the person. Isn't that amazing? He cares about you personally. Every hair on your head is numbered. A sparrow doesn't fall to the ground without God missing it. And he knows when you're going through difficulty, because he's good like that. So here's my application for you. I want to encourage you to take time to praise God. Of course, personally, praise him. I want to encourage you to reflect on this idea of looking back on 2018, and how has God shown himself mighty in your life? And start writing some of those things down. Just jot down some. I mean, you should be able to come up with at least 5. Can you come up with 5 top things? And if it's helpful, start jotting them down right now while I'm talking. And then publicly, I'm going to give you a chance. We are, as pastor team, we're going to give you a chance to praise God publicly and say, God has been good to me, and in this way. Now, we can't have you take like 10 minutes to do that, but each of us could summarize God's goodness so that we can all enjoy publicly praising him. We need to take chances to do that. At your Thanksgiving meal, I encourage you again, as I did at the very beginning, to, if no one does this, take the lead to say, let's give praise to God. Also, encourage you to thank God for his sovereignty. If you're still plagued by some sinful choice that you've made, I want to remind you, it includes your sinful choices. God is greater than those. He works through those. Pilate, all of the religious leaders, it says in Acts, God used and particularly molded them to bring about the crucifixion. He used Pharaoh and changed Pharaoh's heart so that we'd have this wonderful story to reflect on. God can use these things, and trust God to meet your needs. And this is just reflecting back on the things that I showed you from the Psalms. Deliverance, guidance, sustenance, confidence. Trust him. And I don't know where you are today. I do know you need this. I know I need this. I need to praise him. I need to seek him. I need to sing praises to him. And I need to trust him in every detail of my life. So I'm calling you to do that. Let's pray together with heads bowed and eyes closed. I'll pray and give you a chance to give back to God what he's called from you. Father, thank you for who you are and for what you have done all throughout Scripture for your people. And thank you for what you've done to and for us. Lord, we don't deserve salvation, but you've given it to us freely. Lord, I pray that anyone that is hearing who does not know you, that they would repent and turn to you just even right now. They would come to know you and claim you as their Savior. For those of us that do know you, but we've been struggling with being really a little bit off focus, Lord, help us to refocus on you and what you can do for us. Bless your people now as we all pray out to you and call out to you in Jesus' name. Amen.